Hey guys, welcome back to another Sunday with your host Lisa Lamrock on Beyond the Veil. Christy, we have you around?
Oh yeah, sorry, here I am.
You're like, oh yeah, but goofball. We've got on tonight, Charles Anthony Banks is our special guest tonight. You might know him from several different shows. He has the Butthurt show on every other Wednesday, the Enlightened show on Saturdays, and the Roundtable on Sundays. So we're about to get a little butthurt.
Oh, yeah.
I laugh every time I hear the Butthurt show.
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
you know, it's my plot in life to basically butthurt America. I guess that's my plot in life. Sorry to jump in there.
So you have what basically everyone hates to talk about around the dinner table. And actually, like, isn't that the title, Around the Dinner Table, Religion and Politics?
Yes. Yes. Around the Dinner Table, Religion and Politics, the Butthurt Saga. You know, that was kind of the book, and I decided, you know what, I'm going to take the airwaves and I'm going to piss people off on at least a biweekly basis.
Yeah, and I read over the book myself, and it's awesome. I mean, it hits on everything, and I think, it ties into the paranormal too when you talk religion, anyways, and then you got to throw politics in there.
Oh, you bet. But, you know, and you know, like the paranormal tends to be a big political spectrum lately, anyway. So it's pretty easy to tie those two together.
Yeah, no joke. I didn't even think about that, but that's true.
Hey, Alan is saying we've got loads of echoing on his side. It sounds like a bad EVP.
Oh, I wonder why.
I don't know.
Is it still bad?
Hey, Alan, is it still bad?
We'll keep going and see what he says.
Yeah. Sometimes on my blog talk, I have to refresh, so they may have to refresh.
Yeah, he said yes.
Okay.
I was reading over your book, and there was a really good part in your politics book about someone had asked you, why are you Republican? And you said, because your parents are. I thought that's a lot of people don't think about that, but the kids, they do just automatically follow what their parents do they don't even give it a second thought. And you were talking about in the book how important it is to look into your own beliefs and form your own opinions. And you taught government, right?
I currently teach an American government class for seniors in high school. And, I always tell them, I said, you know, always try to reach out and find exactly who you are, because if you don't, you're going to be basically brainwashed into thinking that you're a part of a system, and then you're going to eventually hit a wall, and you're going to realize, oh, shit, I'm not supposed to be here. Pardon my French. You know, I guess that's the first night. But anyway, I teach from the middle vantage. I'm always playing devil's advocate. I always try to play both sides, because I think it's very important that our youth decide for themselves. I had a few teachers way back when, Lisa, that tried to cram this crap down my throat, and I said, no, I'm a Republican because my grandmother said I was so. And then all of a sudden I went to college, and I'm like, holy crap, maybe I'm not. But anyway, yeah, I always try to, you know, to reach out to even the American people. You know, find out for yourself who you are, because that's pretty important. You know, what platform do these leaders stand on. It's you have to stand your ground on some of those causes and whatnot.
And it looks like in your just personal growth, there was I was shocked at how many different faiths you went through. I mean, I think it was every religion out there known to man. I was trying to find the list. But it was everything from Buddhism to, Catholicism and everything. Was there anything that stood out or surprised you or shocked you in one faith over another?
Well, that's an interesting question. I was always interested. I was always interested in death. I was kind of obsessed with it. Even when I was a kid, my mother said that. So I went to all these places and I really looked for what really resonated. And I thought I had found I thought I really had found myself in a couple of spots. And then it turned out that these people were bigots, in basically all facets. We can go into that a little later if you like. But anyway, what really resonates to me is the act of spirituality. Since I've discussed since I've researched the ability since I've come across the ability to be spiritual and be more Christ-like versus being more like the religion or the organized aspect of it, I have become so much happier. And basically things have come so much easier, as far as religion itself.
Exactly.
Yeah. Definitely. No, you had a personal experience that kind of stood out in the book about, I guess it was right after your dad had passed. Well, I guess you were, I don't know if it was around the same time, because there was, I guess, the period, too, where you were going through dabbling in, the Ouija board and all that kind of stuff, but then you also touched on a period in your life where, wanting to burn the house down and just, bad things going on. And then you had, something appeared to you the next day. You had woke up in your dad's bed after he had passed on.
I can still, that memory still resonates in my soul, Lisa. I can't explain it enough. And basically, just kind of tell you the story. I had moved south of town to live at my parents' house, basically to help take care of mom after my dad had passed. And, we were working on our house in town. We found that there was some black mold, so we were going to have to tear everything out. So I tore all the walls out. And it was one obstacle over another obstacle. And then I jokingly said to my wife, well, I think I should just burn this son of a bitch down. And then at that point, I didn't think anything of it, but I went home. And I'm sleeping on the same side of, of the bed as my dad. And I wake up probably 3:30, in between 3:30 and 4 in the morning. And within inches of my face is this, one of the scariest things I've ever seen. Peering down, it didn't look very happy. It had this white look, but it was, you could kind of see through it. But you could definitely tell that it wasn't a fan. It wasn't, it wasn't anything like that. But this thing made the ugliest face that I'd ever seen. Was this my dad? Was this something else? I have no clue. But I can tell you that the thought of burning my house down for insurance never, ever resonated again after that experience.
Yeah. Now, do you have mediumship abilities?
I do now. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't mean to jump on your questions.
Oh, no, you're good.
Okay. These have kind of come and gone, I think. As I continue to research things and look back in my past, I see things that definitely add up to the ability for that. Now, I've been told by folks out there in the paranormal, some psychics and mediums that I wouldn't call hocus-pocus psychics and mediums that I've talked to that says that I have abilities. I do have a sense of premonition. Those things kind of scare the crap out of me at times. I have given a couple of readings, not a bunch, but a couple of readings that were pretty spot on and whatnot. But I guess I'm kind of a I keep a lot of that to myself. I don't really preach it out there because I don't want to come across as this arrogant guy that knows everything, because by no means do I know everything that there is to know in the paranormal, or as far as mediumship abilities, I'm kind of learning as I go. And whatever God wants me to do, I'll do. It's just one of those things, and I'm still discovering my path when it comes to those things.
Yeah. Have you thought about the Project Psi that we had talked about last week?
Oh,
I don't know if you saw that. Project Psi. I don't know if you'd be able to with the distance or not, but I don't know if you did. I don't know if you heard the show last night or last Sunday with Chuck.
Yeah.
Where he does the biomarkers.
I heard about half of it. Yeah.
That would be really neat to do brain mapping on you.
Yes, I would like to do brain mapping, and I would also like to have like a past life regression or something like that done. I think that would be interesting, and definitely with a guy like Chuck that wouldn't know this Chuck from Adam, that would be interesting to say the least.
Yeah, I've done it. I've got to get the printout and see. He actually will print out all the stuff for you for small fee. So it'd be interesting to see. He says I have a brain, so we're good.
There might be people that listen to the Butter Show that said we don't even want to know if he's got a brain or not. Good grief.
Yeah, I think he's gonna do it for me whenever we investigate the BFW mineral wells. I think he's gonna come in, and I think he's gonna do that with me. So
that would be nice.
He says about my brain.
Yeah.
I've come to suck your brains. No, I'm sorry, ladies. I had to say that.
So what? Now, you've investigated several places, because in your book you have a ton listed, and I was looking over some of them. What was your favorite place to investigate that you've done, what's on your bucket list where you have to go?
Yeah, I think perhaps my most favorite place to investigate are basically the local areas, where basically they haven't been trampled over, so to say, like a ballistic axe murder house, or what I'm saying. So it's I would say the craziest place was Birthday Bridge or Giblin Bridge, which is just north of me. I do think that I brought home some sort of spiritual attachment from that. I got a picture, I got a clear EVP that says death is all around me, and those sorts of things, and it was very interesting. Now, last summer I got to spend the evening with David Graham of Twisted Paranormal and Randy Reynolds from Civil War Ghost. We got to spend the whole night in Villisca. My daughter was there, and it was amazing. We did debunk a few things, but that's the way it all is. But if I had to look at the place that I just have to go, it would be. You guys are going to kill me, because now my brain has went blank. I cannot believe it. But it would probably be there's an inn in London that I want to go to, and if I remember the name of it, I'll shoot it back at you, a little bit later.
Yeah. Now, is there somewhere where you post EVPs and pics and stuff, like Twitter, or do you have a website or anything that people can follow you on, or?
You bet. They can follow me at Charles Anthony on Facebook. On there, if they type in, I got to find the stinking thing here. If they type in "Death, the Final Frontier Paranormal," I have a plethora of pictures there, and also there are several links on my Facebook. I keep updated. I have my own personal website as well, but it's basically through that site, and they can link on there as well. But no, I have a ton of pictures and things, and the interesting facet is that when you talk about the paranormal, a lot of times you don't even have to leave your own basement, which I found quite interesting. Or it seems to follow me wherever I go. So a lot of times I don't even have to go to some of these sites. I can experience some of the ghoulish things. you know what I'm saying? Just around myself.
Yeah, you have some non-paying tenants, basically.
Yes, and a couple of them are, pardon my French, real bastards.
Well, that's just not very nice.
Oh, sorry.
I'm just kidding.
Some more people getting butter.
I don't have Chucky the doll. I apologize.
Oh, my God. I was going to ask about, I was going to remind you about Chucky the doll. I want to hear more about Chucky.
What?
No.
Okay.
You tease me every week
here.
About Chucky. I want to hear more about him.
No, it's kind of funny that you say that. But anyway, when I think it was the second time that I moved out of my parents' house and I moved back, my dad put that poster from that movie back up, Jack Chucky's back, on my wall. So that's kind of resonates back to there. But no real doll.
Okay, that's
funny.
That's good to know. You know, I don't like doll.
The boy from that movie, he's at a horror festival out in Odessa, nice guy. So, Chuck, when it comes to trigger objects, has there been anything crazy or that you've used, or anything special? Like, I've used a cap gun and got a really good yell once on EVP. People use the same things. Like, Amy Jo will play cards with them.
Wow.
21. Yeah.
Placing 21 with some spirits. There are some spirits that I wouldn't play 21 with. But anyway, I have some old relics. I actually have a cornerstone from a cemetery that was buried, but a cemetery that used to have a church. And the cornerstone's from the church, and it's basically where my dad's buried and a lot of my family. I have that. I have an old silver item that's one of the oldest family heirlooms that I have. I have some guns and some knives, that my dad had. He was the sheriff of Appanoose County for several years. So I guess I just use items like that. I do have a mirror that it would appear that, a lot of the activity kind of comes through that. But I also have what I call an item that's kind of kept me and my family safe. It came from George Turner. I don't know whether you know George or not, but George sent me a key. And the day that I received that key, Lisa, he was in that horrific accident. And I'm wondering if it wasn't because he was trying to help me or whatever, especially when, it was getting really nasty, with a lot of things that were taking place at my house at that time.
Oh, wow. So with 2015, on the round table, we already kind of hit on, because it was January, like what's taking place over 15, what you anticipate for 16, but we haven't done it on my show with you. So what are your highlights from 15? Would you have anything planned for 16, events coming up that you're going to attend, or books you're still writing that are coming out? Or
I'm actually I'm writing a book now. I have had a lot of, I'll call it lazy-itis, but I do have a book almost completed. It's entitled, Out of the Darkness and Into the Light, Death, the Final Frontier 3. And this book is probably, I thought it was going to come out in February. I'm going to guess that it'll probably be closer to March or April before it comes out. I do plan on going to a couple of events. I'm planning on going to Pennhurst, which is pretty exciting to be able to go and meet up with a lot of my, people that I've met with, on the network and whatnot. Other than that, I've applied for a principal's job, so I may be spending most of the summer getting ready for my new position and all those things. So it's going to be a busy, busy year for me. Now, if you look back at 2015, yeah, it was full of a lot of ups and downs. I had left a station that basically we didn't see eye to eye on some issues, a lot of negativity. I came into contact with Jenny Probilski, who is basically the founder and owner of,
yes,
Paranormal Talk 101 Radio. And, she's just an amazing person. I kind of put the bug in her ear. I said, I'm looking for a place, to put my show. It was originally called Death the Show, and I kind of created this in Light 30 because originally I was just doing the free basic blog talk service, 30 minutes. And Enlightened 30, basically just meant a 30-minute show. But I decided to keep that Enlightened 30, and I added back Death to Show. And things have just been going crazy, absolutely crazy. I think I've been on, you know, my own shows are well over 100. If you look at all the formats, I've also been on, you know, a guest on about 50 shows roughly. So it's been real exciting. You know,
yeah.
three books in basically 16 months.
Yeah,
the sky's the limit. I mean, the spirits, they've scratched me and touched me a couple of times and scared the crap out of me and made me feel like a baby. But other than that, I look for 2016 to be a great, great year for a lot of us.
In chat, Alan is asking if you can purchase your books from Amazon or your website. And are those still on sale? I know you had them on sale at one point.
Yeah, if he doesn't want the hardback version, I will sign books and mail them to him. I do have a PayPal account, and I can put that link up another time on my Charles Anthony Facebook page. But he can actually get my books for 50 cents a piece. I said I was going to do that until I came on your show, and I'm definitely going to do that on Google Play. He can actually get both my paranormal books, Paranormal Experience of Death, the Final Frontier, and Experience from Beyond Death, the Final Frontier 2, are available for 50 cents a piece, and then Around the Dinner Table is a little bit more expensive on there. But and also on Amazon. I believe they're on Amazon. It's on one of them is $1.99, the other one's 99 cents. Don't ask me why they won't let me put Experience from Beyond down to 99 cents. I have no clue, other than that there are colored pictures on there, so you know, it's a little bit easier for the people to read or whatever.
Just looking to see. Oh, Alan said he messaged you. It looks like maybe he does want hard copies.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. And they're good, Alan. You'll like them.
They're not cool. Bad. I've got a lot of 5-star reviews, which I'm pretty happy about. I just wish more people would review it. I got to throw this out there. Even if you think my book's terrible and trash, you want to use it as toilet paper, give me a review. I love reviews.
And his books, I was telling him earlier, it puts out good reference to other authors as well that you may want to read too. I mean, there was several. There was one that wrote a couple books about near-death experiences and stuff, so I was even jotting down those authors to look into those.
Yes, there are so many good authors out there, you know, on the paranormal. I look at Conchita Bertelli, you know, Freddie. Oh my goodness, my brain just freezed again. anyway, Freddie Rivera, his books, and also another amazing book. And I actually talked to him as I was writing my first paranormal book, you know, just to kind of touch base. So, yeah, there are a ton of great authors out there, and there's just all kinds to read if you like to read. The paranormal field is for you.
Yeah. Now, I was curious, in your book, it was your paranormal book, there was a section where you had put something to the effect of, I do believe that their souls trapped for one reason or another, but it says, by no means do I believe that the energy described in the book is just leftover energy. And I was curious if you meant just that particular situation. Do you believe in residual energy and footprints, or?
I believe,
you're talking about purgatory and stuff.
Yeah. I believe in that I can't even pronounce it. Isn't that crazy, a teacher? Residual energy is possible.
What have you been drinking over there?
Absolutely nothing but Diet Pepsi tonight. You know, I had a ceremony of Diet Pepsi. Maybe I'm just getting diabetes or something. Who knows? But it's for that.
No, it's the diet and the Diet Pepsi is what it is.
Yes, it's all that good stuff. But no, there's you know, as far as purgatory.
Alan says vodka.
Oh, he's referencing me is why he's saying that.
Yeah,
I'm a tequila
myself.
So.
Tequila, yeah. Anyway, you know, as far as my beliefs in an afterlife, and you know, what it's like, that my belief systems have shifted definitely over the years. You know, as far as what it is, what it means. I do believe in the aspect of reincarnation. I definitely believe in that. You know, as far as purgatory, I kind of have to go with what Conchita Bertelli, you know, describes in Do Dead People Watch You Shower. I love the title of that book. But anyway, she mentions that there are several planes of existence. And you know what? If we are not truly ready for the next realm after we pass, that we go through a period of healing and development, and basically having a life review and those sorts of things. So I do believe that that's quite possible. Now, do I also believe that there are spirits here on Earth and also darker spirits I know everybody uses it loosely, but are there demons? Yes, but it's definitely a lot more minimal than what people like to prescribe or dictate. It's a crazy other world, and I'm, to be perfectly honest, I can wait. I would love to live another 30 years on this plane, but if I was to die tomorrow, I know that I'm going to be in good hands, and that basically, my story is just starting.
The author David Kessler that you had wrote a lot about, did he actually, because it says he studied like the dying process, how did he go about that? Is it in his books in depth, or because it talks about how, there's these common denominators with, the vision of someone coming to meet them as they're dying, and just all the common things there, the visions like an hour to weeks before death and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, what he did is he interviewed a lot of grieving family members after that experienced death. He also had the ability to be in a situation where he was around these folks as they were passing as a doctor, and basically being able to document all of these cases and those sorts of things I thought were extremely extremely relevant, and actually it helped me. Reading his book actually helped me deal with my own father's, death and passing and those sorts of things. It's a great book. I definitely recommend it to anybody that has any, interest in understanding how to cope, in grieving and all that process. And I a lot of it resonated quite a way with me, Lisa, because, my dad, as he was going through that, the dying stages, he would be talking to us, and then also all of a sudden he would go into a slumber and he'd say, "Hi, ma, and it was crazy. But and my grandmother also, reached out, and she kind of had a darker vision of this, because she saw two twins that were pretty evil. She saw her husband Ted, my grandfather, outside the room, and she's like, "Come here, Ted," and Ted shook his head no, and then she saw these two twins that really scared her. I don't know whether they were black-eyed children or whatever, but anyway, yeah, his book definitely hit home, and it was very interesting, to say the least.
Wow. Well, I think with that, we're going to take a little 3-minute break, and Alan may call in during break, and if he does, we'll put him on when we come back. And also when we come back, I wanted to ask you about, I don't know if y'all are changing the name of it, but the, it was the Horsefly Chronicle, or where y'all were getting together, you, Jenny, Cindy, and Skyping and all that, so maybe we can hit on some of that. And I don't know how public all that is or private, but we'll take a quick break here.
Sounds good.
The story goes, but you can't survive.
All right. Welcome back, guys. We've got someone that has called in. Let's see if that's our Alan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hello. Who do we have?
You have me, Alan.
Alan. Hey, buddy.
I thought the accent would be much stronger the way you've been talking. You said we would need an interpreter.
Do you want me to talk normal?
Yeah,
no.
y'all, come on.
You don't want me to talk true Scottish. So, I just thought, hi, guys. So here's my question, Chuck. You were talking about spirits with, how should we say, personalities, I would call it. I've came across a few times where I've got spirit that have what I would classify as their character before they passed away. I've seen it with my wife's work. She works with a lot of Alzheimer's. And I see it in their character, and then when sometimes I've came in contact with different other spirits, people that I've maybe known and have came through to me, I've had malevolent spirits, like angry spirits, really hateful people that have got stuff still to finish up. I'm just wondering if you've had any sort of contact with people like that, like people you've known that you've had their character that were on the human plane rather than the spirit plane, and it's transferred.
Yes, you know, that's a great question. Thank you, Albert. My dad.
That was Alan,
know,
by
is,
the way.
Oh, that's Alan?
Yeah, you know, the guy
there
from
is
Scotland.
There is an Albert in chat. This is Alan.
Oh, crap. Sorry, Alan. You can smack me later, okay?
That's okay.
That's
just
good.
Stop drinking Lisa's vodka.
No. Anyway, you know, my dad. You know, as far as his personality on this earth, you know, he was a very gruff, but definitely loving man. You know, kind of kept to himself. I have experienced, you know, basically that you know that feeling you get when you're around your parents or whatever, and you're like a little kid, and you know, and you know everything's gonna be okay. And you know those hands, the smell. My dad smells like aqua velva. Now I've smelled that, you know, on occasion. And there was one time, you know, I was really going through a rough patch, you know, with a lot of the spirits, you know, coming after me. You know, I'd like to say full force. And I felt like, you know, a great peace, a great inner peace. And I could almost feel his hands, Alan, you know, basically touching my back, and I could smell the aqua velva, and everything was good. Other than that, you know, I have astral projected with my dad. Sometimes it scared the bejeebies out of me. At other times, it was a real relieving, you know, process. But that's really the only point as far as the people that I know on the earthen realm, you know what I mean, in this lifetime anyway.
Yeah, as I say, I've experienced where I've met people, people who are near death, obviously. They're in the last hours, couple hours. And then maybe not right there, right then. Sometimes they've decided to contact or have been in particular places in Scotland. Forget London. Go to Scotland if you want to go ghost hunting, where there's been really aggressive, like, spirit activity. There's the hatred. And when I've spoke to people, if it's been a relation or a friend of the person I've been working with, they're like, yeah, they had a lot of unfinished business, as I would like to call it, or they've had a real resentment for something. So, yeah, I just thought I'd call in and ask and give you the first experience of a Scottish accent.
I love it, buddy. Yeah, you know, what's interesting is my brother Joe, when he did back, you know, like our family tree, and we did the blood test and whatnot, we found that we were related to two folks over in that area. One was Sir Joseph Banks, the botanist, and the other one was Sir William Wallace. So there we go.
Well, there you go. Well, the same. Just calling in, and thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in.
No problems. Take care.
Bye.
I screwed his name up. I apologize.
Alan.
He's a great guy.
He's funny. He's way off my vodka.
I love his voice, by the way.
I know, me too.
I'm a sucker for Irish accent.
Oh, are they lucky the Irish?
You sound like my husband.
That's funny.
I got chatfish, by the way.
You got what?
Chat,
I got the chat
fixed.
What? Oh, yeah. I
have
that.
The chat fixed. Yes, Ellen, I know you're Scottish, not Irish. I'm just saying.
I know,
like,
buddy. I was just acting like some of my Heinz 57 background. Sorry, buddy.
I think he's also teasing me because I said I like an Irish accent and he's Scottish. So.
So now the experiments that y'all are doing, are y'all able to talk about those or those private?
I can talk about mine. I'm not going to basically dive into the Horsefly Chronicles because that one's kind of dead in the water. But Cindy from Fem Force and it's been about a week since we've done our last video, but we're doing the Death to Final Saga experiment. On the FemForce YouTube.
Is that public? Okay, you said it's on YouTube.
Yep. It's on her YouTube. If they want to take a look at my YouTube, I do take down most of my videos, and put them on private, but I do keep a couple up at a time. If they want to take a look at that, they can subscribe to Death Final Frontier. And I do have a couple of videos that are still up if they would like to take a look at that as well.
I mean, for people that don't know what we're talking about, can you tell them what you guys do and how often? And
you bet. With Cindy, again, with me going to my daughter's graduation and those sorts of things, things have kind of been on hiatus a little bit. But the Death to Final Saga experiment, we've done things we've utilized the Ouija board from Simon over from England. We've had the pendulum done. We've done a lot of ghost boxing with different types of ghost boxes and apps and those sorts of things. And basically, I just film right out of my basement so people can kind of experience firsthand, kind of what I'm going through. I know on the very last video that I did, and I believe it's entitled The Basement, and it is currently public. Cindy, MJ Smiles has some key marks, but actually there's a spot where I'm talking and you can almost see a shadow of a hand come over to me right before I say I'm getting really hot. You know what I mean? In the basement. And I don't mean hot like I am personally, cause everybody knows I'm hot, but physically hot.
That's hilarious.
There's no comments on that one.
Yeah. Oh, Alan will have something to say in just a minute in chat.
Oh, I know.
Give him a second to type. It's funny that you say Ouija board because in your book you talk about when you were in high school and a younger kid and everything and dabbling with that. And I don't know if you'd say bad experiences, but of course being young and not experienced and not knowing what you're doing. I was curious if you still use those or how you if you believe in them, don't, because it's kind of a mixed review there.
You bet. If you get a chance, and I'm going to make sure you ladies have my second book for free for putting up with me for an hour. But anyway, Experiences from Beyond Death Final Frontier 2. I know it. But anyway, my second book, it kind of dives into that a little bit deeper. And it talks about the experiences that we utilized that Ouija board with. I mean, the first time that I ever used one, we were upstairs in the second floor, right across where I actually experienced that apparition next to my face, right across from my parents' bedroom. And, the name that we got, and I thought that my buddy was doing it with me. He thought I was full of shit. He thought I was moving it. But, we got the name Asmodeus, and that scared us, so we stopped, okay? And then, I started dating a girl in high school that her mother, whom I'm friends with today, as a matter of fact, is a shaman. Well, anyway, we actually used that Ouija board in the Dean Bottoms, which is an area in southern Appadoos County, at an old abandoned house. And we were using it, and I actually went back to her house, and she sensed something. Said, "Chuck, come here." So she touched my hand, and she immediately threw my hands down and says, you know what, bring that board to me. She had no idea that I had the Ouija board anyway, but she said, bring that board to me. We're going to burn it, and that's that. Well, anyway, Rob Vandermark, also my buddy that I actually had on the Butthurt Show last night, he saw a green smoke come out of this Ouija board. And we actually went back to the location this past Thanksgiving. And actually, I believe that's up on YouTube as well, A Return to Mendota. But, I believe that Ouija boards are real. There's no way in hell that I would ever mess with one personally again. But, you know, if someone wants to investigate, by all means, go for it. I'm looking for any answers that I could get, with my current haunting or whatever it is. I believe they are real, and I believe that a lot of people think that they're toys, much like the Parker Brothers, want us to think. So anyway, they are definitely a peek into the afterworld. And I have a ton more Ouija board stories in that second book. Would you like to hear one crazy one that my buddy experienced?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. He was going to the Nazarene College in Kansas City, Kansas, or it might be Olathe, Kansas. But anyway, he and his buddies they decided to go out to these known witches' house in Kansas City, Missouri. So they go down there, and these witches or these known witches are playing with a Ouija board. And Scott says in his own mind, he says the Lord's Prayer. As he's saying the Lord's Prayer, these girls with their eyes rolled up in their heads stop the Ouija board and look around at the people that were around and says, somebody's mocking us. And so they go back to using the Ouija board. And then a few minutes later, he says it again. They point at him and their eyes are like rolled back in their heads and says, it's you, you're mocking us. And, he obviously left, but it's pretty interesting. It's kind of self-validation that these things can work.
Yeah. Wow. No one. I was curious about exorcisms. You talk about it in your book. You hit on everything. And I was curious if you've been involved in any or had any cases or anything.
Let's see. As far as personally, basically experiencing a spirit or a darker spirit going into another person, I did experience that with my daughter. And, kind of the backstory of that, this was in our apartment in Fort Madison, Iowa, which is just down from the Iowa State Penitentiary. And anyway, both my kids were waking up with this dark apparition at the end of the bed on a nightly basis. And frankly, as a dad, I got a little pissed off. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go after this thing. Let's go down to the basement because that's where, I sensed and my oldest daughter sensed where it was at. So we go down there. And immediately, as I'm asking, what's here and why are you here and leave us alone, my daughter's eyes kind of rolled back a little bit. She kind of lost it. It didn't really look like her. And she says, get out, in a very growling mannerism and a few other words. And I went over and I put my hand on her head. I said the Lord's Prayer three times. And I said, I demand you in the name of Jesus Christ, get out. And she went limp. The interesting thing to this day, Lisa, is she does not remember this. Myself and her ex-boyfriend, Jose, it'll be a day that we remember forever. I mean, it was just absolutely astounding. And, as far as other than that, I've read up on the mannerisms as far as how to, do exorcisms. But personally, I try to stay away from that because the ramifications could be great, especially with the kind of attachments or the hauntings that I'm dealing with personally.
Yeah, there was in your book about bringing a lot of spirit home, and I've had that issue here with having to have a priest over and cleansed because of my getting scratched and stuff, so definitely been there.
Yeah, and, after I was scratched, after I had the three knocks, I've used sage, I've used holy water and those sorts of things, and, things are always good for a few days, but, it's always calm before the storm. It seems like they come back. I actually was going to have an Episcopalian priest come. The week that he was supposed to come, he got horrifically ill. I also had a shaman that was going to help me, and he had car trouble. I mean, there's been nothing but crazy things out there. It's not that I don't want to bring somebody in and cleanse the house, purposefully. It's that all these things, take place to keep that from happening. It's It's insane.
Yeah. Now, did you experience anything? I got to ask about the Axe Murder House because everybody goes there. Did you experience anything when you were there?
I did. You know, an interesting thing is when I was in, downstairs in the basement alone, I was using a device actually, but I could sense you know, the spirit of the of Alina, which those of you that don't know the backstory, Alina was one of the children from you know, the Friends you know, house. So it was Alina Stillinger. And you know, I could kind of sense her. But anyway, right before he walks by, it says, "Crap, I hate it when my brain does this." It says David, you know, on my ghost box, and immediately David walks by, so I'm like, "Run!" You know, "Hey, come back in here." So we took some pictures, you know, around the entire scope because I wanted to make sure that we weren't going to miss anything. And one capture that my daughter got was eerie. I mean, it was like the spirit that was looking outside at us. I mean, it was crazy. But other than that, it was fairly quiet. We did we were upstairs on the second floor, and we were looking around, and my oldest daughter heard the piano play, and you know, I'll just say it. I say, "Oh, fuck." So we run down the stairs and we go down there and there's nothing there. But anyway, Randy Reynolds can vindicate it because he's actually got a full spectrum camera down there. And at the point that this takes place, yes, the piano actually played three times.
Oh, wow. Looks like we had a caller, but they hung up, so maybe they'll call back here before we start wrapping.
Oh, shoot. I had that effect on people. They call in and they're like, "No way."
Someone else to call and harass you.
Oh yeah, I enjoy it, but I also enjoy harassing others as well. So it's even Steven. Kind of like the Chucky doll.
Give
right?
and take.
Right.
Now, what do you what are your thoughts on, like, dolls? You know how they say they're portals or vessels, spirit attachment to them. What is your thought on those? Some people say, "Oh no, there's no attachment," and then there's some that study it and believe absolutely there is. And
the creepiest experience that I've ever had was when I was interviewing the owner of Harold the Doll. Okay.
Hold
I'm
that thought,
that.
And we'll get him to chime in. This is Lisa. Who do we have calling in?
Hello?
Hi, you're on with Chuck. Who do we have
calling
in?
Hello?
Hi, Chuck. Hi, how are you? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, you're on.
This is Hawk.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. Sounds like you're doing a good job there.
I'm trying. You know, I remember back to all those experiences, and you know, nobody can say it clearer than you. You know, you are one of my ultimate teachers out there. I'm so glad you're listening. It warms my heart.
That's good. I just had this thing. I was sitting on the back porch, and I thought, "Oh my God, what's going on with Chuck?" So I thought, "Well, I'll come and find out."
Excellent.
Now, when
Excellent.
when you say teacher, as in teacher,
I would consider Hawk a personal, as far as a spiritual teacher. I look up to her and all that stuff. Yeah, it's amazing.
Awesome.
She's as good as they get.
So now,
Thank
Hawk,
you.
What kind of lowdown dirt can you give us on Chuck while we have you on the air?
Well, let me tell you, oh my goodness, he was the type of young man that liked to explore everything, and he got himself in a lot of trouble, Ouija board
yes.
and all.
Yes. Now, tell you know, it's been long enough or whatever. When you touched me that day that we burned that Ouija board, what did you sense?
Oh, there was a lot of negativity coming in. you had some bad spirits around you and you didn't need them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And see, I've heard so many different things with the boards, like you shouldn't burn them, you should put them in water, and I've heard others say, no, not water, you need to bury them, but you have to wrap them in cloth a certain way. I've heard so many different things. Oh, go ahead.
Well, you got to be very careful. It's what type of Ouija board, too, okay? I walked in a house one day, and this person was having all kinds of trouble. And I said to her, I said, you got a Ouija board here. No, 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 no. There ain't no way I got a Ouija board. I walked into a closet, and the back of her closet was a Ouija board.
Wow.
And she never even knew it was there. I don't care for them too well, especially if somebody doesn't know what they're doing.
And frankly, back then, I had no clue what I was doing. I was kind of one of those curious. I think you said my Native American name back then, Hawk, was the coyote.
Yeah, you were the coyote, the trickster.
Yes.
Well, honey, I don't want to take up any of your time because you got some nice people there. So you take care and enjoy, okay?
Hey, I love you, my friend, and blessed be.
Blessed be to you, too.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome, honey.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, she's so sweet.
Oh, she's an amazing woman. I didn't want to, you know, I'm not going to say her real name, obviously, but I didn't want to mention her name because, you know what I'm saying. I like to keep a lot of that stuff private. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yes, thank you for calling in. Well,
go ahead.
I'm a little gobsmacked.
Oh, no.
That's awesome.
We're going to have to be wrapping up here pretty soon. So is there any upcoming events you've got going on or anything that you want to put out there for everybody to look into?
Absolutely. Let me dig up my calendar. I'll keep talking and pretend like I know what I'm doing here. No. Anyway, on Saturday the 6th, at 9 p.m. Central, I got Liz Nowitzki. She's from the Lizzie Borden House. I'm excited to have her on. She's a psychic medium. And then I'm going to do a special Enlightened 30 Death to Show on Wednesday, February 10th. Johanna Brown out of Florida is going to be doing live tarot card readings for any caller that wants to call in. And then on the 13th that week, I'm going to do two shows that week. I got the Reverend Sean Patrick Saramack on, which I'm super excited about having, and he might be doing a couple readings as well. Other than that, I'm writing my third book, working on the Butthurt series, and going with that. And also, don't forget to tune in tonight at 8 p.m. Central on the Paranormal Talk 101 Radio, the Roundtable with Jenny, Kenny, myself, and Cindy. And also you, Lisa. If you
yes.
I was going to say you. Which one you?
Yeah, I'm.
Well, both of you are invited.
Right.
I'm still getting my
feet we'll
wet.
See. I've got all that. I've got to get all that boxing done. So, all right. Well, thanks for joining us in chat and listening tonight. Next week we probably will skip because I am moving those that don't know to Austin. Woo-woo. So, I got all this packing and boxing to do. But we'll be back the following Sunday if that's the case. So, thanks for joining us, Chuck. I appreciate you being on.
Hey, I'm truly blessed to be on such a great show with two very beautiful in and out ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you, and hopefully I'll talk to you here in a bit on the round table.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, good night, guys.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone.
to go.